Greetings in Christ. I'm Reverend Doug Gribenaugh. The New Testament reading for today is from Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 6. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in His Word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, or a drunkard or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching, for shameful gain, what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." In many and various ways, God spoke to His people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. St. Paul's letter to Titus, this letter directing Titus to appoint pastors in the congregations in Crete, well, St. Paul begins it by reminding Titus why pastors exist at all. For the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. Pastors are given to Christ's church. They belong to God. They are His man, so that His people may be anchored in the truth, strengthened in the faith, and kept in the hope of eternal life. And because that hope rests on the God who never lies, the truth matters. Doctrine matters. What is taught in Christ's name matters. And that is why the task that St. Paul gives to Titus, well, it feels at odds with our modern sensibilities. He says, "Appoint elders who hold firm to the trustworthy word, so that they may give instruction in sound doctrine, and also rebuke those who contradict it." Do both, not one or the other. The pastor must teach the truth, and he must expose the lie. And it's that second part where often we hesitate. Rebuking false teaching feels harsh. Naming error feels uncharitable. in a world that prizes niceness above all else, pointing out doctrinal danger can seem unchristian, unloving, and downright mean. But Paul doesn't apologize. He doesn't soften. He says plainly, there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers. They must be silenced. And why? Because false teaching doesn't just mislead minds. It damages the soul. It corrodes faith. It draws people away from salvation in Christ Jesus. Any pastor who refuses to warn his flock is not being kind. He's abandoning his post. A shepherd who sees the wolf and stays silent is not gentle. He is negligent. Rebuke is not cruelty. It is care. It is love. It is the necessary work of guarding the people whom Christ has purchased with his own blood. But notice how St. Paul frames this. The goal is never about just being right, winning the argument, scoring the points. The goal is that God's people may be sound in the faith. The pastor's rebuke is always in service of the gospel, clearing away the lies so the truth of Christ can be heard, believed, confessed. And the truth is this. Before the ages began, God promised eternal life, and he kept that promise in his Son. Christ is the faithful one who gives his place to the faithless. Christ is the pure one who cleanses the impure. Christ is the obedient one who stands for the disobedient. His cross silences every accusation. His resurrection is the guarantee of the hope that St. Paul proclaims. This is the trustworthy word that the pastor must hold firmly, teach boldly, and defend courageously. But as for you, dear pastor, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And from that gospel flows the shape of the Christian life. Older men, older women, younger men, all called into lives of self-control, dignity, and love. Not to earn God's favor, but because God's favor has already been given in Christ. The pastor guards this life by guarding the doctrine that delivers it. So today, hear St. Paul's encouragement to Titus as Christ's encouragement to his church. Pray for your pastors. Support them as they teach the truth and as they rebuke the lie. And take heart. God has claimed you, forgiven you, and promised you life in his Son. And God never lies. This promise is sure. This hope is yours. And this truth is worth defending. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was presented this day in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.